Thank you, Brother Trevor. All right, turn in your Bibles tonight for a few minutes to the book of Philippians. I want you to turn to chapter 4 and verse number 13. Chapter 4 and verse number 13. Often you will find this particular verse of Scripture posted by athletes and actors and I guess I would say ambitious businessmen. And they basically use this verse, you know, for like self-serving and self-help motivation. And they take the verse completely out of its context and its meaning, and it's always important that you do not just quote out a Bible verse, but you look to see what does that Bible verse really mean when the Holy Spirit placed it in that passage of Scripture. You and I do not have the right to pull any verse of Scripture out of its context and use it as we see fit. That's just not the right thing to do. So if you hear somebody say, yeah, but he used a verse of Scripture to back up what he believes, what I want to know is what does that verse of Scripture really mean before he used it? Because even the devil himself quoted Scripture to the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 4 when he was trying to deceive the Lord. You know, in this particular passage, let's read it. The Bible says in verse number 13, it says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And as you are now ending 2025 and looking toward 2026, I want us to look at this verse for a few minutes tonight. And I would like for you to embrace this verse, learn this verse, quote this verse, believe this verse in its context, and then I will show you what it is here in just a moment. And I want you to look at 2026 and say, yes, I can. Yes, I can. Through Christ, I can. And the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. This is not a magical verse to quote out loud that magically changes your circumstances. And when you say, well, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, you have to understand that verse does have its limitations. You say, but it says I can do all things. That's why I don't take it out of its context. I don't believe that you can get our ladder out of the shed back there and put it up against this building and climb up on this building and jump off this building and not go to the ground. I don't believe that you will stay in the air. You say, well, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I don't think you'll fly. I think you will go down. I think you will hit the ground, and I think that you will thump the ground when you hit the ground. You see, you can, these athletes, it's amazing to me how that they'll have this stuff, they'll have these scriptures put on. And I thank God that they're not ashamed of the Lord. I'm not bashing that. But I will tell you this, that God doesn't care who wins the football game. And so when you give God the credit for your team winning the football game, I don't think the Lord really cares who won that game that day, to be honest with you. So what I mean by that is that you got to be careful when people take a passage of Scripture and misuse it. And so it really, you're going to have to just look at this passage and realize that God has a purpose and a place here. And this is not a self-help motivational slogan in this passage of Scripture. So let's look at it for just a moment, okay? You'll know that in the passage, Paul makes a couple of statements. In chapter 4, verse number 11, before he wrote verse number 13, he said this, not that I speak in respect of want, he says, for I have what? Learned. Oh, he learned some things. He learned some things. Before he said, I can do all things through Christ, he had to learn some things. Learn some things. Look in verse number 12. He said, I know both how to be abased. I know how to abound everywhere. And in all things, I am what? Instructed. He said, I have learned and I am instructed. And through those things, He has learned to be able to say, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And by the way, what did he learn? Well, the Bible says in verse number 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. You do realize that that's very difficult for people to do, is to be content. You live in a nation where every commercial and every billboard and every magazine has its advertisements. Everything on the radio is geared to promote discontentment in your heart about where you are in life and what you have and what you wear and what you drive, where you live, what you weigh, who you're married to. On and on it goes. It promotes constant discontentment so that you will want something more than what you have, that you don't deserve some of the things that you're going through. So the American dream, really, it drives so many people to discontentment. This is the reason why Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter number 6, it drives people to excessive debt in their lives because they have not learned to be content with their circumstances. And I'm not talking about you shouldn't be trying to do better, but I'm talking about that even if you did better, you wouldn't be content. After God blessed you and increased you, you still would want more. The eyes of men seem to be never satisfied. Never satisfied. So one of the things that shows this is that you haven't learned these things is that you place yourself in excessive debt. You become a slave to money and to debt. I'm not saying, and I don't have time to explain all this, but you know we teach here that all debt is not sin. Excessive debt is sinful. And you will make yourself a slave. But also the explosion of the divorce rate in America, where people are so discontented with the person that they chose and committed themselves to. I read an illustration about two tears that were flowing down the river of life together. And one of the tears said to the other tear, who are you? And the tear responded, said, I am from a girl who loved a boy and lost him. Who are you? And the other tear said, I'm the girl that got him. Do you understand? And you have to learn to be content, and you can do this through the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'll talk about that in just a minute. But when there is excessive murmuring and disputing and complaining about your job, your house, life in general, you got to keep things in perspective. Reader's Digest came out with a story many years ago about a Hungarian Jew. Now, it's just a joke. It's not a real. But it gives you a point in this to understand keeping things in perspective. In the comedy section and the humor section, it said a Hungarian Jew went to his rabbi. And he said, man, he said, Rabbi, life is so unbearable. He said, we have 9 in our family and we live in a 1-room house. He said, life is unbearable. What can I do? And the rabbi said, I'll tell you what you do, but you got to do what I tell you. He said, I will. He said, I want you to go out in the yard and I want you to get your biggest goat and I want you to bring that goat and I want you to put it in the house to live with you for a week. And the man was really agitated, but he promised he would do what he told. He took the goat, put it in the house for a week. He said, and he came back to see the rabbi, and the rabbi said, now, okay, now. He said, now you take the goat out, put him back out in the yard, and come see me in another week. And so sure enough, he did exactly what the rabbi said, and he came back and he told me, and he said, how is life? He said, man, life is grand. You know why he said that, don't you? is because it was all about perspective, because the smell of the goat made life much more unbearable than what it was with his family. I guess the principle of that is things can always get worse. Amen. You got to keep some things in perspective to be able to appreciate what the Lord has done for you, and that life is good. And life is good. God has been good. Now, I want you to look at this passage, though, again with me tonight for just a moment. Paul went through, when he wrote this letter, he was at times chained to a Roman soldier. When he wasn't chained to the Roman soldier, he was chained to a wall. And yet he's writing this letter to these Philippians and said, you know what, I've had to learn a few things. That whether my bank account is full or whether I'm broke, he said, that does not determine anymore whether or not I am content. He said, I've learned that through Christ, when he strengthens me, that I can be content regardless of the circumstances that I am having to deal with. And so this will help you in 2026 that you will not constantly be going up and down and up and down and almost having a nervous breakdown one week, and then you're so excited when you come in one Sunday, the next Sunday you look like that someone has passed away in your family that you love dearly. You don't want to be on that roller coaster constantly in your life, but learning to be content. But let me show you some things, what he said in verse number 13, I can do all things, and he's talking about the things that matter. He's talking about some things that you and I can do. And what he meant by that was, and I want you to understand this, and I'm going to give you a few of them. If you write them down, look them up, I'm going to give you the verses for them. One of the things that you can do and I can do in 2026 is that I can and you can endure the circumstances that we're going to face. Even though it is uncertain, we can, through the power of Christ, endure those things. Some we will enjoy, some we'll have to endure. But here's how we can do that. Look in chapter number 1 and look in verse number 6. Because what we're talking about here now again is how that Christ strengthens us. And that word strengthen, by the way, means enabling you to be able to do this and to go through this. Look in chapter 1, verse number 6. I can endure the circumstances knowing in my heart with confidence that God has a purpose in my life, and God is using those circumstances to develop me. Watch in chapter 1, verse number 6. Being confident. Now that's how you find contentment, is being confident that God is in control of some of the things that are happening in your life. He does not make all of your choices, but there are some things that come my way that I didn't choose and I didn't cause, but they come. Look in verse number 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So those circumstances that God is working in your life, it is him at work performing some things to purge, to remove, and to improve some things in your life. Now to follow up on that, look in chapter 2, look in verse number 13. He said, for it is God which worketh in you. Now when God's at work, I can. I can do all things. These things he's talking about, I can endure those things. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Not your good pleasure. His good pleasure. There are times when it will not be pleasant. But you in your heart, you can say, I can go through this. I can do this. He will enable me. He will strengthen me. He will not leave me. He will not forsake me. He will not put on me more than I can bear. He will not do that. He is at work. And he says, for it is God which worketh in you both the will and the do of his good pleasure. Now, if I believe that, if I believe this, Brother Kenneth, he said, then I can do. Now remember, I can do all things. Remember that phrase? Well, he says here in verse number 14, then do all things without murmuring. If I can do all things through Christ, then I can do all things without murmuring and without disputing, knowing with confidence that God, the circumstances that I cannot control. Take a peek at what's coming around the corner. Maybe, as we heard Sunday, we may not want to. Because if we could, we may want to run and hide. But why do we think that way? Why do we think that what's around the corner is always going to be bad? Why can't it be good? Why can't it be a blessing? But do you realize also that with blessings comes responsibilities, and with those blessings and those seasons of blessings that God sends, don't set your heart upon the riches, because riches cannot bring you contentment. New land and new houses and new cars and new clothes will not bring the contentment that you're looking for. A new boyfriend, a new girlfriend, a new husband, a new wife, all of those things, they cannot fill the void that is in your heart. Only Christ can do that. I can endure those circumstances, know that God has a purpose. Now notice something else. Look in chapter 1 and verse number 21. I can do all things, and I can endure some things if I know that God is using me in some form or some fashion. And it's not just something that's happening, but God has a purpose in it. Look in verse number 21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, he said, this is the fruit of my labor, yet I shall choose I want not. For I am in the strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know I shall abide and continue. What confidence? That confidence that he knows that, isn't it nice to be needed? Now, come on. Seriously, if I'm ready to cross over, I'm ready to go be with the Lord, if I am become unprofitable and without purpose, and I am a burden, I'd rather just cross on over than be with the Lord. And it would be very difficult to endure some things if I can't be a blessing to somebody in the process of going through some of those things. But Paul said, I need to stay here because you need me. Now, he's either arrogant or he's confident that God was working through him to be a blessing to other people. So you got to think about that. Okay? Now, don't overestimate yourself, but don't underestimate yourself that you're needed. All right, now look at something else here. Look with me in chapter 4, verse number 2. Here's something else you can do through Christ. Chapter 4, verse number 2. You can, you really can. I can do all things through Christ who enables me and strengthens me. I can resolve some conflicts with a brother or a sister. Now, it's going to take Christ to do it. He's going to have to give me strength to do it. But I can do it through him. Look in chapter 4, verse number 2. How? I beseech Odias and I beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind. What mind would that be according to the book of Philippians in chapter number 2? Would it not be the mind of Christ? And so if I allow Christ for him to develop my mindset and the way I think and the way that I operate and the way that I look at things, then I know that I will be able to resolve any conflict if that other person would just be willing. But even if they're not willing, I need to be willing. And I can do it. You say, nah, I can't. Don't stop saying that. Stop saying, I will never forgive them. I cannot forgive them. Stop saying that. Now, in your flesh, that is true. Through Christ, you can. He will give you the grace to do that. I can do all things through Christ. And he's going to have to strengthen me to do it with some folks, depending on how much they've hurt you. Okay? Now look at something else. Look in chapter 4, verse number 4. I can rejoice. I can rejoice in Him who never changes, though everything around me is always changing. He said, rejoice in the Lord how often? Oh, thank you, brother. Always. And He said, in case you didn't get it the first time, again I say, rejoice. I cannot rejoice sometimes in the pain of my circumstances, but I can rejoice in the Lord always. I can do that, and I can thank Him for who He is and what He's done for me and my life, and so can you. Look in chapter 4, verse number 6. I can do this. I really work at this. I need His help. I can and should overcome worry and fretting. The Bible says in verse number 6, be careful for what? I'm sorry? For nothing. You say, well, does that mean you don't care about anything? Well, that's not exactly the way that he meant that. That word careful there means to be full of anxiety and stress. Worried. They say worry is like a rocking chair. Gives you something to do, but takes you nowhere. The Bible says be careful for nothing. And I really have to work at this because I worry about you. I worry about you. When I pray for you daily, by name, your burdens, I worry about you. You know, Jesus looked at Peter and said, I'm praying for you that your faith would fail not. And Paul wrote back to the Thessalonians because he was concerned and wanted to make sure that they were staying faithful and were continuing on. I do worry about people. I don't want their faith to fail when they are going through some things. Now, I know that Christ can help them. I'm not sure they know Christ can help them. They may not have learned that yet. But look at this in verse 6. Be careful for nothing. What are you worried about tonight? Who are you worried about tonight? Most of the time, it's a who that I'm worried about. A son, a daughter, a grandson, a granddaughter, a church member. It's usually someone. Sometimes it might be finances. Sometimes it might be a health situation. But most of the time, it's someone. Be careful for nothing. And I need Him to help me with that. And He has over the years. In verse number 6 says, be careful for nothing but in everything. And this is again where, how does He strengthen you? How does He enable you? Well, you know, in verse number 2, it had to do with the way you think and your mind. And verse number 4 has to do with you focusing on what Christ has done for you. And verse number 6 has to do with the fact that you talk to Him about this. You cast your care upon Him. You pour your heart out to Him. Verse 6, be careful for nothing, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And look at verse 7. And if you'll do this, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now that's an awesome promise. You say, well, I can't help but worry about it. Quit saying I can't. Quit saying I can't and start saying I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengtheneth me. And He will enable you to do this by you casting your care. Remember this about the Lord Jesus Christ, that He is your high priest. The Bible calls Him our succorer. He will come to your aid. Remember that, okay? And then notice something else here in this passage that you can look in verse number 11 of chapter 4. Wouldn't this be awesome if you could learn to do this and have this be true in your life? He said, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. What an awesome thing it would be if every man and woman that are members of East River Baptist Church
if they were content. Discontentment brings murmuring and whining and complaining and criticizing unjustly. If we could learn to be content, not passive, not trying to do better with our lives, but I'm talking about when you've done your best and now you're going to trust God with the rest. You've done your best, now you're going to trust God with the rest. All right, verse number 11 says, "For I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." There's no way I'll ever touch the hem of the garment of the Apostle Paul and what he endured as an apostle. But I don't have to. I still struggle with discontentment just like he did until God helped him to understand some of these things. And you'll notice something else here in verse number chapter 4, verse number 19. I can learn to be content. I can. Through Christ. And I can trust God to meet my needs and supply them. Look in chapter 4, verse number 19. He said, "But my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." You can trust God. Now remember who he's talking to here. He's talking to people who have sacrificially given that he might be able to further himself on the mission field. He's not talking to people who are hoarders and who are stingy, but people who are investing. And now they personally have needs. And God says, "You can trust me." And isn't it amazing though, during missions conference time, don't we have to exercise one more time that I can trust him? That I can trust him to supply my needs. And he does. But he says in chapter number 4, and I close with this. He said in verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Enabling you, giving you the power. Look in chapter 1, verse 19, and then we're done. You're facing a new year. You're going to face some circumstances that may challenge your faith. I will pray for you that your faith fail not. You do the same for me. In chapter 1, verse number 19, he mentions something here of how that Christ works through certain things to strengthen us. He has ways and means of doing this. Chapter 1, verse number 19 says, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation." He's not talking about his soul. He's talking about him being delivered from these circumstances. "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your" what? "Prayers. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he honestly and will place it upon the hearts of your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ to pray for you, to intercede for you, that you would be strengthened in the inner man and that your faith would not fail. You need your church family to pray for you. And you don't need to be too proud sometimes to ask somebody to pray with you about some things and for you about some things. God never intended for you to be the Lone Ranger. Sometimes you have to humble yourself. Sometimes you just have to send a text and say, "Hey, would you pray for me today?" And you know what? If somebody were to send you a text and said, "I need you to pray for me today," you don't need to say, "Oh, what's wrong? Oh, tell me more." Well, if you do that, I'm probably not going to ask you to pray for me next time. Because if I'd wanted you to know all the details, I'd have told you all the details. I just need you to pray for me that God would strengthen me right now. Amen. In my heart. Amen. And I would count on you to do that. Amen. God does do this. I remember, I had a flashback just now of a situation that occurred years ago. And I was in my bedroom praying. And I was burdened about something, and I got a phone call from a brother down at Wild Peach Baptist Church, just out of the blue. I mean, he never had called me before. And he called me up and he said, "Brother Roger, what's wrong, brother? God put me on your heart to pray for you today and to call you to encourage you." Now that's the invisible world working in your favor. Do you understand? And that's what Paul is saying. You can. I can do all things through Christ. How does Christ strengthen me? He strengthens me by your prayers. And he will strengthen you through us praying for you. Sometimes when you're just about to quit, for some reason, you found the strength to go on, and it wasn't yours. It was some people who saw the burden you were carrying, and they began to pray for you. And God strengthens you. Now watch what he says, prayer. But look at something else. He said, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and," look at this, "the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ." The Holy Spirit himself will strengthen you in your inner man. If you will trust him, if you will come to him, and say, "I cannot." Now, you can say, "I cannot" once in a while. You can say, "I cannot do this by myself. But I can through you." God has blessed you. And by the way, God has gifted you. Don't sit out there and say, "There's nothing I can do to be a blessing to anybody." You better quit saying that. If you're saved, God has gifted you and touched you that you might be a blessing to other people. You say, "Well, I just quit saying I can't." And say, "I can through Christ. I can through Christ. I can. I can teach a class. I can go to the prison. I can sing a song. I can get involved in the ministry. I can love my husband, though he is a difficult man. I can love my wife, though she may be difficult at times." Now, I'm not saying that about my wife. She got on to me the other day about talking about her church Sunday morning. No, she really didn't. But do you understand what I'm saying? You can endure some difficult places. You can be content. Quit looking for something that's not yours to have. Quit wanting things that are not yours, that are good for you. Find some contentment where you are. Make where you are a good place to be through Christ. Now, Paul found that in a Roman jail. As a matter of fact, was it Paul and Barnabas that were singing in jail? Paul and Silas. And there they were, and having been beaten and thrown in there, and they're in there, of all things, singing. 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 The greatest place in the whole wide world for you to be is in the will of God. And that is an attitude more than it is a location. It's an attitude. And so I want you to see this. And one more verse. Let's go and fellowship. Okay? Look in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 7. A powerful, powerful verse. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 7. Can I get you to believe your Bible? You say, "Well, we're Bible believers." I know, but I need you to believe the Bible. There are a lot of Bible toting, that's a good word, isn't it, toting? Bible carrying people who don't believe what's it between the pages. I need you to believe this. 2 Timothy 1, verse number 7. That word power there, that means dunamis. That is the same word for strengthen. That's the word for enabling. That's what God will do, has done for you. In chapter 1, verse 7, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear." Quit saying, "I can't, I can't, I can't, I can't, I can't." Stop saying that. And learn how to say that I can do all things through Christ. Now, I'm talking again about finding contentment. resolving conflicts, talking about stopping all your fretting and your worrying, talking about you being engaged and involved in the ministry, you can. The Bible says in verse 7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, enabling us, strengthening us, and of love, and of a sound mind." Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, would you bless the East River Baptist Church family this 2026. And in their hearts, Lord, may they find contentment in the will of God where they are. And be able to rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, to be able to trust you to find great contentment in their circumstances of when things are great and when things are not great, that they can find contentment that you will be faithful and that you are at work. God, give us that grace and that faith to trust you now. And Lord, would you bless our fellowship? May our conversation be edifying and encouraging one to another. And even bless, Lord, I pray, the food and the coffee as we fellowship together. And our people as they travel home, our families that are far away, would you please watch over them and keep them safe and bring them back. And Brother Alltop, God, would you even now begin to nudge his heart, lead him and guide him to the messages that we need that can transform our hearts and lives. Bless Brother Britton, Lord, and Brother Andy as they come to bring and minister to us through music. And Lord, may we be in our place. In Jesus' name, amen.